The Max Challenge of Clinton, New Jersey. Join me, your host, Mark LaRose, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. right here on Hunterdon Chamber Radio. I'll be discussing important health and fitness subjects, featuring guests and success stories. We are here to help motivate you. It's a beautiful day.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
On today's very special edition of Taking Care of Business, I'll be talking about the coronavirus and the impact on businesses and how you can and should be preparing for its impact on your company. I'll discuss emergency remote work plans. I'll answer some common questions employers are asking about the disease and how to handle their employees and why this may be the best time ever to refinance your mortgage. It's Thursday, March 12th, 2020, and I'll have all that and more right now on Taking Care of Business. Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gano, and this program is called Taking Care of Business. And for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in Flemington, New Jersey, in the beautiful county of Hunterdon here in New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. Before we do that, we check the weather. Currently 43 degrees at 12:05. Today it's going to be cloudy with a high of 51 and a low of 44. Showers will develop this evening, continuing through tomorrow morning, where we'll have rain in the morning. Clearing skies with a high of 68 degrees tomorrow afternoon, a low of 33. For Saturday, it'll be partly cloudy with a high of 54 degrees and a low of 33. And for Sunday, it'll be partly cloudy with a high of 52 and a low of 25. And a current check of the financial markets, which I'm pretty sure you don't want to know, but we'll go through anyway. Dow is currently down 1,954.92 points to 21,597.30, officially entering bear market territory. The NASDAQ is down 559.47 to 7,402.91. S&P 500 down 202.63 to 2,538.75. Oil is down $1.50 to $31.47 per barrel. Gold down $68.90 to $1,573.50 an ounce. Well, as I mentioned, this is a special edition of Taking Care of Business. We're not going to be talking necessarily about marketing or sales or anything like that. We're going to talk about the coronavirus and its impact on your community, on your business, how to prepare for it, and if you haven't prepared for it, it's probably too late, but how you react to it and rebound could be essential to know. Last night, President Trump went on the air at around 9 o'clock to discuss the plans that the federal government has for dealing with the coronavirus. Just to give you some of the highlights from that, he said that all travel from Europe to the United States starting Friday, with the exception of the UK, would be banned. So there will be no flights coming in from the UK or from Europe. Let's be clear on that. Italy is most affected. And because of the open borders in Europe where you can travel from Italy to Switzerland to Austria, they just felt the need to contain it more and not allow anybody to come over. He's sending up a bill for $8.3 billion to help, or actually approved it, signed it last week for $8.3 billion to help the CDC, the Center for Disease Control and the Prevention and Treatment of the Coronavirus. He said that the banks and financial institutions are strong. This is not a financial crisis. He wanted to be very clear on that. He's asking Congress to approve SBA loans with low interest to overcome temporary financial hardship as a result of the coronavirus for small businesses. He's asking Congress to pass a payroll tax relief bill, which it sounds like probably won't happen based on his version, as they've already drafted one of their own. He reminds Americans that we need to be vigilant at this time and put politics aside. This was a message to Congress. He wanted to put politics aside and be bipartisan and work together, not only as Congress, but as a country, to make sure that we can get through this as quickly as possible. Yesterday, the World Health Organization did declare the coronavirus as a pandemic, which is one step below epidemic, but it was done, they're saying, to create awareness in smaller countries that aren't taking this seriously, that this now has to be taken seriously across all countries, all borders. And, you know, we are a service-based economy, not manufacturing. So part of all of the president's plans are good, but it can have a negative impact as well. And what I mean by that is, you know, if we're a service-based industry or economy, which is like, you know, going to a restaurant, the small business loans may not help. So what happens is you get money now, but you still have to pay it back. And if the customers don't return, how will you pay it back? If you had manufacturing being the primary focus, then you would be able to, you know, once the economy returns, once the customers return, then you'd be able to sell more product and offset the loans. So that's where we're at with that. A lot of cancellations. The New York Car Show has been postponed until August. The NCAA tournament has said they will play the games, but without fans present. Family members and essential personnel to the arena or to the teams will be allowed in, and that is all. Last night around 9 o'clock, the NBA suspended the rest of their season until further notice because one of their players from the Utah Jazz has tested positive as well. Earlier this morning, it was announced that the SEC and Big Ten have canceled their basketball tournaments, and that has larger implications on the NCAA tournament because you need to have a champion from those tournaments to advance on to the round of 64. So whether or not they'll be able to send somebody or just take it based off, you know, final standings has yet to be determined. NASCAR is not immune to this as well. This week they're racing in Atlanta. Next week they're racing in Miami. And the Miami-Dade County Mayor, Carlos Jimenez, has issued a statement this morning saying that he is postponing next weekend's NASCAR Cup race at Homestead Miami Speedway under a state of emergency because of the public health threat of COVID-19. In fact, all activities in Miami-Dade have been canceled, which are the Miami-Dade County Youth Fair, the Miami Open Tennis Tournament, the Miami 5K Run, all major events at the American Airlines Arena. The Seattle Mariners are already saying that they will not play any home games because of the large outbreak in the Seattle area until further notice. So when the season starts, all of their games will be away games. This is a very fluid situation, and I want to be very clear that, and I don't want there to be panic, but it's a very fluid situation. You're going to have cancellations that are ongoing. You're going to have more events being canceled so that people will err on the side of caution, not necessarily on the side of panic. So it's best, I think, that we just heed the warnings and follow what they're telling us to do, just so that, you know, we're not, all hiding and running, you know, running scared, you know, Chicken Little style. So I think it's a good opportunity for businesses, and we'll get into this after the break, on how you can prepare for something like this and how you can react to something like this. We've seen a lot of universities cancel classes. Rutgers has shut all three campuses, Newark, Camden, and New Brunswick, and said that they're closed until the end of spring break, which would be March 23rd, and that classes would then be held online until at least April 3rd, hoping that the spread of the coronavirus, the community spread of coronavirus, will subside by that time, and if not, then they will research other options, including online study. Many schools have called back all of their students that were in travel abroad programs. So if they've gotten out, great. If they haven't gotten out, they're probably stuck there for at least another month. Several companies have already instituted working online instead of coming into a physical office, or they're canceling meetings as a result. We'll get into that in just a little bit as well. So There's a lot going on. I want to talk to you about your business and how it may impact you in the short term, and whether or not you'll be prepared in the long term to handle any extended quarantine situations or something like that. We always start the program with our business quote of the week. I usually try to make it something motivational, either from a celebrity or a politician, someone famous. Today, I took it from Helen Keller. I thought it speaks to what we're all currently facing right now when she said, "Optimism is the faith that leads to achievement. Nothing can be done without hope and confidence." So hopefully we all have a little bit of hope, we all have a little bit of confidence, and we all have that strength and intestinal fortitude to weather this storm. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. We'll be back right after this.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all right. Taking care of business. And working overtime. Workout.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com, the voice of business, and WHCRDB. I'm Jim Gannot, the host of the program here. Glad you could be joining me. Let's talk a little bit about how to prepare for the coronavirus, how it will impact your business. Now, longtime listeners to the program have heard me talk about the need for a disaster recovery plan in every business. And usually when I talk about a disaster recovery plan, I'm talking about what would you do if there was a fire in your building? What would you do if a flood were to come through your town? And even simple things like a drunk driver, you know, drives through your showroom or something like that. How do you recover from a disaster that affects your business? And these are usually physical things. So you can plan for, like a flood and say, okay, we're going to move all our equipment to higher ground. We're going to move our inventory to higher ground, something like that. You can, after a fire, you can come in, assess the damage, call your vendors, get new material. And for my business, I have it timed out that I would be back up and running in a new location within 48 hours. I've already run this drill with my vendors. The one thing that I didn't do, and I don't think many people do, is how do you plan for a pandemic? This is something that it's uncharted territory for many of us. So it's very hard to say, well, if a pandemic strikes, how would it affect my business? The coronavirus, or COVID-19, has taken a more serious turn in the U.S. with warnings that it could very well impact how, when, and where we work. And disruption to everyday life may be severe, said Dr. Nancy Messonnier, who's the director of the CDC's National Center for Immunization and Respiratory Diseases, recently at a news conference. Now, schools could be closed, mass public gatherings suspended, and businesses forced to have employees work remotely, which we're already starting to see. The global spread of the virus may be a moment that reveals whether employers are ready to respond rapidly to unexpected workplace changes. Business travel could decrease or come to a full stop. More employees may need to work outside of local business hours and use video conferencing to operate across time zones, and if it gets bad enough, many could indeed be asked or request to work remotely. Are organizations ready? Chances are they're probably not. So when you look at your business, are you ready? So I give a couple different examples on the show. Let's say you own a dress shop. Do you have an online retail platform so that if people are stuck at home, they can't come out, can they still shop in your business? Do you have a method of being able to ship or deliver product to people? That's one example. For me, a lot of our material comes from China, and if they're not producing, if the factories aren't working, there's a chance that in 6 months, 9 months, that we won't be able to get the product we need, to handle the fall sports. So anything where there's overseas manufacturing is going to be impacted. When you have all these companies telling their workers to work from home, work remotely, and they're tying up bandwidth, is it possible, and I don't know the answer to this, and I don't know that anybody's looked into it, but is it possible with all the universities that are now telling students they have to study online, take courses online, that we could, in effect, crash the internet because too many people are on all at the same time? So the global spread of the virus may be a moment that reveals whether employers are ready to respond rapidly to unexpected workplace changes. And how do you prepare for your organization to not only flexibly respond to this potential disruption, but also to use it as an opportunity to reimagine work on a broad scale? So I have five steps to get you started. First, you want to acknowledge the possibility that all or part of your workforce may need to work remotely. Hoping and praying it doesn't happen or simply ignoring it is not a good strategy, and neither is handing everyone a laptop and saying, go work someplace else on the day that they expand wide-scale quarantines. So plan as if the only way to remain operational will be for as many employees as possible to work remotely. Gather a cross-functional team together now that includes business line leaders, IT, HR, communications, and facilities to start to plan for different scenarios and optimize execution should circumstances require a rapid response. This is something that you should have been thinking about a month or two ago. Now it's almost too late. But you have to start planning because as we're starting to see in Seattle, no large gatherings over 250 people. In California, no large gatherings over 1,000 people. There may come a time when they consider going to work a large gathering, maintaining a distance of 6 feet. So you want to map out the jobs and the tasks that could be affected. And you want to note which roles and duties can be done even partially without a physical presence in the workplace. Those that can't be done even somewhat outside of the physical office. And those that you're not really sure about. I apologize for our microphone boom here. But you want to look at things and say what can be done in the office, out of the office. There's certain jobs that have to happen on site. If you're in pharmaceutical research and you're in testing labs, you have to be on site. But if you're doing data cleanup or something like that, well, maybe you can do that, you know, remotely. So challenge any potentially inaccurate default assumptions about specific jobs that you may not have thought about that could be done remotely. And for those in the not sure column, be willing to experiment. For example, for years, people have been told that administrative assistants can't work flexibly. And for years, teams of administrative assistants have proven that that's simply not true. Certain tasks they complete require physical presence, but those that can be planned for, the majority of their tasks can happen effectively outside of the traditional model of work and benefit the business. Scanning documents, things like that. Call screening, maybe not. But now with technology, chances are it probably could. You want to audit your available IT hardware and software and close any gaps in access and adoption. You want to assess the comfort level with specific applications such as video conferencing and other collaboration communication platforms. Where you find gaps, provide training and opportunities for practice before people need to use them. Real-time mastery is not optimal and is inefficient. Identify devices owned by the organization that people could use and clarify acceptable bring-your-own-phone and laptop options. Remember, there are security issues on people's personal computers, so you want to make sure that you're not exposing your company data on people's personal laptops. And again, determine if there's any security issues to consider and then how best to address them before you do that. You want to also set up a communications protocol. Who's reporting to who? The communication plan needs to outline how to reach everybody. All contact information in one place. Primary communication channels need to be clarified. Emails, IMs, Slack, etc. How employees are expected to respond to customers and how and when teams will coordinate and meet. Identify ways to measure performance that could inform broader change. Now, after the flexible responses period is over, this data will allow you to reflect on what worked, what didn't work, and why. The data will also prepare you in advance to answer the inevitable question once the crisis has passed, why don't we do this all the time? Depending on the outcomes, you may decide to continue certain aspects of flexible response permanently. For example, perhaps you cut business travel by 25% and substitute video conferencing. You determine afterwards that about 80% of those meetings were equally as effective virtually. Therefore, a 20% decrease in business travel will continue, but this time as part of the organization's sustainability strategy to cut down on carbon emissions. Global health emergencies like COVID-19 are scary, disruptive, and confusing for everyone. And if you plan and nothing happens, then at a minimum, you have an organized, flexible work disaster response ready the next time there's a challenge to operational continuity, which chances are, in today's day and age, there will be. So, again, it comes down to, is your company prepared for this, and what will you do about it? Give me one second. I apologize for that. So, again, when you talk about working remotely, you have to look at your business. You have to almost take yourself out of the owner's chair for a minute and look from, you know, a spectator's view. Look at each job and say, what can be done remotely? So if there's some assembly, are some of your employees able to take some of that work home with them, do the assembly, and then drop it back off at the office to complete orders or something like that? We've done it in my business. I have a kid down in Greenbrook who is confined to a wheelchair, and I will very often bring him projects so that he can work on them there. So I've proven proof of concept it does work. You can send work home with certain employees, whether it be manual tasks or clerical, and have them get done that way. And again, if as long as the work is getting done, then you're in a good place. It's when the work doesn't get done that you have to start figuring out, are these the right people to be working in your business? So, you know, it's one of those times when all of your employees have to buckle down and be a part of the team that's going to help see this forward. Want to talk to you before the break about why now may be a good time to refinance your mortgage. And a lot of people are saying, Jim, you just told me to work from home. I'm not going to go out and meet with a mortgage rep. But it may be the right time. Homeowners are capitalizing on historically low mortgage rates in droves. The number of refinance applications spiked 79% in the first week of March to the highest level since April 2009, according to the Mortgage Bankers Association. The jump was also the largest week-over-week increase since November of 2008. The volume was nearly six times higher versus the same week a year ago, and the strong activity in the last weeks prompted the MBA to revise their 2020 estimates for total refinances 37% higher. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, says Kevin Leibowitz, who's the CEO at Grayton Mortgage Incorporated. The big lenders already seem to have reached capacity. Right now, a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is at 3.29%. 15-year fixed rate is at 2.79, and the 5 1-year arm is at 3.18. So the rate on that 30-year fix has hit an all-time low at 3.29%, according to Freddie Mac. Market uncertainty opens up opportunity. The surge comes as traders scramble to make sense of the ramifications from the spreading coronavirus or COVID-19. The Standard & Poor's 500 index is down about 15% since its most recent high, while oil dropped 22% after a coronavirus-related price war ignited between Russia and Saudi Arabia. Investors have poured money into the less risky 10-year Treasury, causing its yield, which the 30-year mortgage rate tracks, to fall below 1% to its lowest level on record. And similarly, the rate on a 30-year mortgage fell to 3.29% last week, according to Freddie Mac, its lowest point in its 50-year record history. Market uncertainty around the coronavirus led to a considerable drop in U.S. Treasury rates last week, said Joel Kahn, who's MBA's Associate Vice President of Economic and Industry Forecasting, in a press statement. Homeowners rushed in. The rates will continue to drop, we're being told. Rates are likely to remain low. If you look at the Treasury yield, it's still at significant lows, said Odetta Kushi, who's the Deputy Chief Economist at First American Financial Corp, a title insurance provider. I think when Freddie Mac releases its mortgage rate numbers on Thursday, they'll be lower than last week. The MBA also forecasts that 30-year rates to stay between 3.3 and 3.4% for the rest of the year, according to its revised projections, and that'll drive more refinance activity, which could worsen the inventory shortages, especially for starter homes that homebuyers are still facing. The implication of a sustained low rate environment for the 30-year fixed mortgage is that it's great for first-time home buyers, Kushi said, but it can also discourage existing homeowners from selling their homes. So if you know what your current rate is, and I'm told the rule of thumb is 2%. So if we're at 3.29, you're somewhere around 5.25%. This might be a great time for you to be refinancing your mortgage. So might be worth a phone call to your mortgage lender or to other lenders that may have an interest in financing your property. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. We're going to step away for a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about how you can keep track of all of your production times in this time, and then we're going to answer some of the common employer questions people have regarding their business and how to deal with coronavirus. We'll be right back.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump announcing during an address to the nation last night on the coronavirus that he is suspending all travel from Europe for 30 days beginning tomorrow, with the exception of the United Kingdom. This morning, Vice President Mike Pence says the ban will protect those in the country who are more susceptible to that virus.
It does not, as we look at global data, present as much a threat to younger Americans. But for senior citizens, it represents a threat of a very serious consequence.
Last night, the president promised financial relief for those infected or in quarantine, and he's calling on Congress to provide tax relief, defer tax payments, and help fund small business loans for businesses affected. Hours after being sentenced to 23 years in prison on rape and sexual assault charges, Harvey Weinstein is back in a New York hospital complaining of chest pains. And this is USA Radio News.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business and working overtime for help.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. Talking today about the coronavirus and its impact on businesses, maybe your business, or others. So we're starting to see that a lot of corporations are telling employees to work from home. Bristol-Myers Squibb has told their employees starting Friday to work from home all the way through April 1st. So that's one that we're starting to see. Universities are taking similar tacks with their students as they approach spring break, saying that the campuses will be closed and will most likely involve tele-learning after the break, at least through April 3rd. At least that's what's happening at Rutgers. So when it comes to your business, I want to talk real quick on one aspect of it that may be helpful. Right now, you have to start looking at not only your expenses, but your income. And what's going to happen is you're going to lose some orders. Events are going to be canceled. Maybe you're a caterer and you're going to lose orders. Maybe you're somebody like me in the promotional products industry. You're going to lose orders because events are either canceled or postponed. Good idea is that any orders that are currently being paid and come in, keep whatever money turns into a profit in a separate account. That's your rainy day fund. Rent still has to get paid. Insurance has to get paid. You know, so you're going to want to make sure that you have that kind of capital at the ready for as long as we see. Right now, we're talking about April 1st through April 3rd. This could stretch even longer, and you want to make sure that you're ready. This is also a time when you're still going to want to be marketing your business. You have to let people know who you are, where you are, and what you do so that when the emergency is over, they will come back. And then when the emergency is basically declared over, you're going to have to market two or three times harder because everybody's going to flood the market and people have to remember who you are. So another way that you can save money is keeping track of your production times. And before you can create any kind of price list for your product that will help you make a profit, you must keep track of your production and all of the times for each process within your production. Each step is costing you money and should be part of your pricing structure. Each of the following steps are just part of that equation. The time it takes to take the order, planning the production of your order, writing up the order, ordering material, loading and unloading material as it's received, running production, packing, shipping, billing, and invoicing. If any errors were made, the time that it took to replace the product must also be tracked along the way why the error was made in the first place. Oftentimes, these errors can be corrected rather easily, but they always take time. And if they can't be repaired or replaced, there's another cost that must be tracked. You must start keeping track of all of your production steps and know what each one is costing you before you can create that profitable price list. This is more important now when you're going to start seeing a shrinking of orders than ever before because you have to know what every step in the process is going to cost you. You also have to make sure that if the cost exceeds the sell, you don't take that order. Give it to somebody else. All right, now I want to get into the part of the show today where we're going to start talking about some of the common employer questions and answers. And this is provided by the Society of Human Resource Managers. With more and more confirmed cases of COVID-19 or coronavirus in the U.S., employers have been left wondering how to handle the situation should it impact their workplace. So I'm going to address some of your frequently asked questions. Keep in mind that the situation, again, is very fluid. It's evolving very quickly. And before acting, always check on the most up-to-date information and guidance from public health officials, consulting legal counsel as necessary. I do want to go on record as saying that as of yesterday, there are no confirmed cases of coronavirus in Hunterdon County. So before anybody starts, you know, running in panic mode, make sure that you have the facts. Don't just, because it's in California, doesn't mean it's in your backyard. So make sure that you're dealing strictly with facts. You can call the health department. You can call the Office of Emergency Management. Might be a good idea to subscribe to their home pages and make sure that you're only dealing in the right facts. So as far as where you can find information about COVID-19, the best place would be the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. The U.S. Occupational Safety and Health Administration and the World Health Organization have created dedicated web pages with information on COVID-19. In addition, state and local health officials are developing guidelines and resources on the illness as well. Check your state and local Department of Health for additional information. Three big tips that people are saying from these organizations: wash your hands frequently, use the antibacterials that you have, don't touch surfaces. Try to keep a barrier between you and any surface. If you're in an elevator, use a pen to push the number. If you're going to be walking around stairs, try to have a paper towel that can act as a barrier between you and the surface that someone else who may have been infected has already touched. What is the risk of contracting COVID-19 in the workplace? Well, according to health officials, the risk of contracting COVID-19 in most jobs generally remains low in the U.S. The CDC regularly conducts risk assessment, and as of March 6, 2020, for most of the American public, the immediate health risk is considered low. People in communities where ongoing community spread has been reported are at an elevated risk of exposure. Healthcare workers caring for patients with COVID-19 and close contacts of persons with COVID-19 are at elevated risk of exposure. travelers returning from affected international locations such as China, Iran, Italy, Japan, and South Korea, where community spread is occurring, are also at an elevated risk of exposure. Now, what can you do to help prevent the spread of COVID-19 in your workplace? The health officials recommend reminding employees of the importance of, A, again, washing your hands, avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth, cleaning things that are frequently touched, like doorknobs and countertops, with household cleaning spray or wipes, covering coughs and sneezes with a tissue or the inside of the elbow, staying home if you feel sick. You can help encourage employees to stay home when they're sick by reminding them of your paid or unpaid leave program. Consider reviewing and revising your sick policy and procedures for flexibility. At a minimum, ensure that your policy is consistent with current public health recommendations and existing federal, state, and local laws. Be clear on any notice requirements for absences and enforce rules consistently. And again, number one, use common sense. If an employee is calling out because they say they're sick, chances are they're sick. I don't think anybody's going to be taking advantage of this. So have that, have a little bit of flexibility in your HR policies that err on the side of caution rather than forcing somebody to come in and potentially infect the entire staff. Depending on the circumstances, employers may be required to provide job-protected time off to employees under federal, state, and or local disability and or leave laws. Employers can help employees practice healthy habits by providing tissues, no-touch trash cans, hand soap and sanitizer, and disposable towels. Routinely clean all frequently touched surfaces such as workstations, countertops, and doorknobs. Next question. If I want to prevent abuse of our paid time off policies during a potential outbreak, can I require employees to provide documentation that their absence was for a covered reason? Some state and local sick leave laws restrict employers from asking for documentation. For example, several laws require that an employee be absent for more than 3 consecutive days before an employer can ask for such documentation. In its interim guidance, the CDC has advised that employers should not require a health care provider's note for employees who are sick with acute respiratory illness to validate their illness or to return to work. This is because health care provider offices and medical facilities may be extremely busy and unable to provide documentation in a timely fashion. Any information that you do collect must be kept confidential and separate from the employee's personnel file. Can I ask my employees to go home if they are showing symptoms of COVID-19? Individuals with COVID-19 have had mild to severe respiratory illness with symptoms of fever, cough, and shortness of breath. If one of your employees shows these symptoms, you can ask them to go home and direct them to speak with their doctor. Can I take an employee's temperature? Can I require employees to get tested for COVID-19? Generally, both would be considered a medical examination and subject to the rules of the Federal Americans with Disabilities Act, or ADA, and similar state laws. Under federal ADA, medical examinations of current employees are prohibited unless they're job-related and a business necessity. This means that the employer must have a reasonable belief based on objective evidence that A, an employee will be unable to perform the essential functions of their job because of a medical condition, or B, the employee will pose a direct threat because of a medical condition that cannot otherwise be eliminated or reduced by reasonable accommodation. In the past, the EEO, or Equal Opportunity Employment Commission, has said that this exception could apply if the illness is more severe than seasonal flu or a pandemic has been declared in the U.S. and becomes widespread as assessed by health authorities. As of March 8, 2020, the pandemic wasn't declared. That was just done yesterday. Assessments of whether an employee poses a direct threat in the workplace must be based on objective, factual information. Employers are expected to make their best efforts to obtain public health advice that is appropriate for their location and to make reasonable assessments of their workplace conditions based on this information. Can you ask employees to notify you if they've come in contact with someone who has COVID-19? Employers may ask employees to notify them if they've been in contact with someone who has COVID-19. If an employee reports contact with someone who's had it, direct the employee to the CDC's guidance for how to conduct a risk assessment of their potential exposure to assess whether they are low, medium, or high risk. And I would say to the employees, if you know that you've come in contact with somebody, again, err on the side of caution and volunteer that information to your bosses, and then get yourself tested. The proper procedure for testing is for you to first call your doctor. Don't just run to the emergency room. Call your doctor. Tell them that you think you've been infected, that you're showing symptoms. Ask them if they will provide you with a test or if you have to go to the local health department to get that test. Get tested, and then you will be directed whether or not to self-quarantine or you be hospitalized. If you have an employee who is traveling in an area currently impacted by the virus, if they are symptomatic, can you require them to undergo a quarantine prior to returning to work? In that instance, the answer is yes. Some employers have asked workers who are returning from any country on the CDC's restricted travel list to self-quarantine for 14 days and work from home. If working remotely isn't an option for an employee, consider consulting legal counsel to discuss your rights and obligations before asking the worker to self-quarantine. Can you prevent asymptomatic employees from entering the workplace if they or their household member have traveled to a designated World Health Organization or CDC-affected region? Yes, as long as employers act consistently based on travel activities and do not say or do anything to violate the ADA or other federal, state, or local non-discrimination laws. Can I ask employees about geographic areas where they have traveled or intend to travel? Yes. Absent a claim that an employee has a recognized privacy interest in their travel activities, employers should take steps to reduce any reasonable expectations of privacy that employees might have in those activities. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. When we come back, we'll finish up the question and answer period and wrap up the program. This is a special edition of Taking Care of Business with Jim Gannot, covering the coronavirus and how it impacts your business. We'll be right back after these messages.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hunt and Hunterdon every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hunt and Hunterdon provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
Oh, you lucky dog. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join me as we have this special edition of Taking Care of Business talking about the coronavirus and its impact on your business and business as a whole worldwide. We've been going through some questions and answers that were posted on the SHRM website, the Society of Human Resource Management. Want to read through some more for you. Can you prohibit your employees from engaging in personal travel abroad? Now, this is getting into an area where if a person had a vacation planned and they want to go ahead and it hasn't been restricted by either government, can you tell them they can't go? Now, some states will prohibit employers from taking adverse action against an employee for engaging in lawful off-duty conduct, such as traveling to another country. The time off may also be protected under federal, state, and local laws entitling employees to job-protected leave. For instance, an employee taking time off to take care of a family member with a serious health condition may be protected under the Federal Family and Medical Leave Act. Similar state laws and or state and local paid sick leave laws Employers can advise employees to take precautions, which would include checking the CDC's traveler's health notices for the latest guidance and recommendations for each country to which they plan to travel, and remaining alert for fever, cough, or difficulty breathing, and avoid the workplace if they do develop any of those symptoms. If an employee has traveled or intends to travel, absent a claim that the employee has a recognized privacy interest in their travel, you may ask about their travel plans and take steps to reduce workplace exposure. Can you stop your employees from going home because they fear they will become exposed while at work? Employees who refuse to work may have protections from adverse action. For example, under the OSHA Act, employees may have the right to refuse to work if the following conditions are met. Where possible, they've asked the employer to eliminate the danger and the employer failed to do so. They genuinely believe that an imminent danger exists. A reasonable person would agree that there is a real danger or death or serious injury could result by performing their job function, or there isn't enough time due to the urgency of the hazard to get it corrected through regular enforcement channels, such as requesting an OSHA inspection. Section 7 of the National Labor Relations Act, which grants employees the right to act together to improve wages and working conditions, may also come into play in this situation. If employees express apprehension about working and the risk of contracting the illness remains low, employers can try to reassure them by discussing the measures the company has taken to protect employees, referring to information from public health officials about the risks of workplace exposure, and suggesting ways they can help further reduce the possibility of exposure. If an employee has an underlying condition that would qualify as a disability, they may be entitled to a reasonable accommodation under the ADA or similar state laws. Paid or unpaid leave may be considered a reasonable accommodation. What should you do if an employee informs you that they have COVID-19? Should you tell coworkers? If an employee is confirmed to have COVID-19, employers should inform all other employees of the possible exposure to COVID-19 in the workplace, but maintain confidentiality. That is, don't reveal who has the illness. Employers should treat all information about an employee's illness as a confidential medical record and keep it separate from the employee's personnel file. Employers should also immediately contact local health officials for further guidance. Do I have to tell employees to work from home? In general, employers aren't required to allow employees to work from home. However, telecommuting can help prevent the spread of the illness by allowing employees to work without exposing themselves or others to the virus. Therefore, you should consider telecommuting as an option for jobs that can be performed remotely. Should employees wear a face mask to work? OSHA regulations for personal protective equipment and respiratory protection require employers to assess the hazards to which their workers may be exposed when determining whether to require the personal protective equipment. In this context, consider whether your workers may encounter someone infected with COVID-19 in the course of their job duties, or whether they may come into contact with work sites or materials such as lab samples or waste contaminated with the virus. What happens if schools close and employees need time off? Among the states and local jurisdictions that require employers to provide paid sick leave, many cover absences related to school closures that are ordered by health officials. So you need to check your state and local laws for details. In the absence of a specific requirement, employers should consider offering paid or unpaid leave to these employees. If your business is forced to close, do I have to pay non-exempt employees? Non-exempt employees, those entitled to minimum wage and overtime, are paid only for hours worked. Therefore, if non-exempt employees miss an entire day's work because you're closed and you didn't require them to report to work, you're generally under no obligation to pay them unless you've promised otherwise. You can give employees the option of using any accrued paid time off for the time missed. What about exempt employees? Would I have to pay them their full salary if you close? Exempt employees must generally receive their full salary in any work week in which they perform work, regardless of the number of hours worked. If your company closes for less than a full work week due to the virus, you must generally pay an exempt employee their full salary as long as the employee worked any part of that work week. What if your company is forced to close early because of the virus? Do you have to pay non-exempt employees for the time they missed that day? Again, if the company closes early, federal law doesn't require you to pay non-exempt employees for the missed time unless you promised otherwise. You must pay them for any time they actually worked and for the time they stayed at work while you were making a decision to close. What if an employee is on quarantine and cannot telecommute? Do you have to pay them during the quarantine? Employers should check applicable policies, collective bargaining agreements, and federal, state, and local laws to determine if pay is required. For example, federal or state wage and hour laws may require exempt employees to be paid their regular salary if they are directed not to report to work. Unless it is in increments of a full work week, some state and local laws may impose additional pay obligations for certain occupations, especially if employers provide little or no advance notice that employees are not to report to work as scheduled. State and local paid leave laws may also require pay. Even in the absence of a requirement, some employers are electing to pay employees who are placed in quarantine and cannot telecommute. The conclusion is very simple. Closely monitor guidance from your local health officials and develop an updated sick leave and remote work policy in order to help prevent the spread of COVID-19. So there's, again, a very fluid situation with respect to the coronavirus. How you're going to – those questions, and you may want to listen to this broadcast again when it goes into the archive. You may want to review these policies with your HR department, possibly with legal, if you need to, because you don't want to do something that's going to put you out of bounds with an employee by not paying them when you should have or paying them when you shouldn't have. So you want to make sure that you're up to date with all of that. Again, Rutgers University is closed. It'll be telelearning through April 3rd. Several businesses are closing. The NBA has suspended their season. NASCAR has canceled next week's race in Miami. This is very fluid. In sports, in the NCAA men's basketball right now, Kansas leads the AP Top 25 poll, followed by Gonzaga, Dayton, Florida State, and Baylor. San Diego State, Creighton, Kentucky, Michigan State, and Duke round out the top 10. Again, the NCAA announced yesterday that this year's March Madness tournament will not be played in front of fans, with the exception of essential personnel and family. Earlier today, the SEC and the Big Ten canceled their final season, their end-of-season tournaments. The NHL regular season is underway, but they are discussing plans for how to address the league and coronavirus. The NBA regular season was underway until last night when they suspended the season yesterday after one player tested positive. In NASCAR news, Joey Logano won the second for the second time in his career last weekend at Phoenix International Raceway this year. This week, the teams traveled to Atlanta Motor Speedway for the Folds of Honor Quick Trip 500 with limited access to drivers for fans. Driver Ryan Newman appeared on the Today Show yesterday for his first interview since that horrific crash in the Daytona 500 and said there is no timetable for his return to driving, but hopes it's soon. And again, next week's race in Miami has been canceled. Major League Baseball spring training is underway. The league is currently assessing all of its options as it pertains to attendance, both in spring training and the regular season. The Seattle Mariners have announced they will not play any home games at their stadium until further notice. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today, and I always end the show with some great advice I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. Maybe you can use it in your lives as well when he said, never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best. Again, I want to thank you for listening today to the program, hoping that all employees and all employers are safe from the coronavirus. And if you have any questions, again, feel free to listen to the program again when I post it on our Facebook page or in the archive section. Hopefully we'll address any of your concerns there. If you have ideas for upcoming program topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at jimgano83, or on Facebook on the show's page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano. And for more information about me and my businesses, reach me at www.jimgano.com. I'm Jim Gano, and I'm taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Every time we have a disaster in others, it shows the very best of this country working together and coming together.
Top House Republican Kevin McCarthy saying Americans should take a deep breath and realize the U.S. has faced much worse problems in its history than a coronavirus outbreak. McCarthy also praising the president's leadership in the growing coronavirus crisis. After last night, the president announced a 30-day travel ban on a couple of dozen countries in Europe to try to stem the tide of the outbreak here.
The president last night, I think, took decisive and the correct action that was needed. These measures are in addition to the work that the president took earlier.
The Dow Jones Industrial Average off its lows of earlier today. It had dropped nearly 2,200 points in early trading, sparking a 15-minute break as investors are still fleeing stocks because of the coronavirus outbreak. This is USA Radio News.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. We create professional materials representing your idea and submit it to companies who are looking for new ideas. We have more than 9,000 companies who have agreed to review ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive patents. We also offer services including 3D modeling and animation demonstrating your idea, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to show InventHelp client ideas to additional companies. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp.
Call us for free information at 1-800-460-1663. That's 1-800-460-1663. Again, 1-800-460-1663.
A second Utah Jazz player in the NBA testing positive for the coronavirus. Superstar Donovan Mitchell has now tested positive for it, hours after center Rudy Gobert was diagnosed with it. That's what led to the NBA last night announcing it was suspending the remainder of the season until further notice. Meanwhile, the National Hockey League is advising its teams today not to hold any morning skates practices or team meetings. As the league announced last night, it's going to announce later today how it's planning to move forward during this pandemic. The nation's unemployment line's a bit shorter last week. The Labor Department reporting that around 211,000 Americans filed first-time claims for unemployment benefits last week. That's 4,000 fewer than the week before. Biggest increases in claims in New York, California, and Ohio. The steepest declines in claims in Massachusetts, Illinois, and North Carolina. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
There have been U.S. casualties after a deadly airstrike in Iraq.
A barrage of rockets fired at a military base in Iraq has caused American casualties. A U.S. defense official says two service members were killed along with a British national. 30 rockets were fired at Camp Taji from a mobile truck launcher. 18 of them hit inside the camp. The rockets were similar to those used in previous attacks by Shiite militias. For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
The man serving a life sentence for his role in the D.C. sniper murders nearly two decades ago is now married. The Washington Post reporting Lee Boyd Malvo married an unidentified woman last week at a prison in Virginia. That's the state where the then 17-year-old Malvo and John Allen Muhammad were convicted in 2002 of killing two people. Muhammad was executed 11 years ago for the killings in Virginia and in Maryland. Former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin is back in the spotlight, not for politics, but for singing. Palin was revealed as a contestant on The Masked Singer after she sang Baby Got Back while wearing a bear costume in last night's edition. The celebrity judges on the popular game show thought maybe it was Christina Applegate or Tina Fey rapping the Sir Mix-a-Lot hit, but Palin called it the weirdest thing she'd ever done. Said it was all about fun, though, and unity. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design. This blue thing is a really new trend.
A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hello, my name is Robert Burns. My website is BobBurnsSpeaks.com. And I'm inviting you to listen to